Good evening. Let's go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 3. That is where we will begin in a moment. Exodus chapter 3, going through the book of Exodus on Sunday nights. Just got a little bit louder. Last week we saw Israel being oppressed, and there were some just terrible things going on for Israel in Egypt at this time. We remember the braveness of Shiphrah and Puah and the great acts of faith that they did. Well, they're still being oppressed. There's still some very negative things happening to Israel. And this week, we're beginning to see what God is going to do about it. I think the big question that Israel is asking at this point in the story, and in fact, in chapter 2, verses like 23 to 25, Israel is crying out to the Lord. They're wondering if He is hearing them. And of course, God always hears His people when they cry out to Him. And God is going to respond to their cries by raising up a very special person. God responds to their cries by raising up one of their own to deliver them from the terrible bondage of the Egyptians. God is going to raise up Moses. Through miraculous events, God spared Moses from Pharaoh's wrath on all of the Hebrew baby boys, and the young man Moses found himself living with the royal family itself. From this very beginning stage of Moses' life, you can see God working in several miraculous and providential ways to raise him up to this particular point. If you remember the story in chapter 2, Moses sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, which is one of his very people, although he was raised as an Egyptian. But when no one was looking, he struck down the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. The next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting one another, and when he went to try to break them up, the man in the wrong said, "Who made you to be a judge over us?" And then he says, just scathingly, he says, "What are you going to do? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian from yesterday?" Moses was afraid that he would be found out, so he fled to Midian. It was here where he found a wife and took up the profession of shepherding for 40 whole years. This profession that Moses took up, shepherding, is going to be a very important theme in his life. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I think it's always amazing to look at the period of time that is going on in Moses' life when we see him at different points. So sometimes, you know, when we're reading the Bible, we read hundreds of years of history in just a few minutes. Well, Moses is a shepherd for 40 years, and he would be 80 years old when he speaks to Pharaoh for the first time. But let's see what happens immediately after these 40 years in chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.' When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is one of the most famous passages in the Bible, and for good reason. It's very important to Israel's history. It was going to be Moses, God says, who leads the Israelite people out of Egyptian bondage. There are several applications that we could make at this point. We could talk about how God always hears His people. We could talk about how God will come and rescue us, and He's rescued us from our sin, and He will rescue us from this earth one day and take us to the promised land that is awaiting Christians. He'll take us to heaven. But what I think is interesting is this picture of the staff that we're going to talk about in a moment. But after this scene where God calls Moses into His service, Moses gives five reasons why he can't serve. He gives five reasons where he says, God, I can't go and do what you want me to do. I can't go and lead Israel out of Egypt because of this and this and this and this and this. Let's look at a couple of those reasons. In verse 11, he says, I'm not adequate. He says, who am I to do this task? In verse 13, he essentially says, well, I don't have the right knowledge. I don't know enough. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, well, the people won't take me seriously. What am I to do then? In chapter 4, verse 10, he says, well, I can't speak very well. Then the fifth one, in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, he finally has enough of this whole conversation, and he simply says, why don't you just send someone else? I don't want to go. To each of these excuses, God has a powerful response saying that He will be with him and He will be with Moses to empower him to overcome these five different fears that he has. And it's a beautiful picture about how God is with all of us when there's things that are difficult in our lives. But I don't want us to miss the detail in the third excuse, the one where he says, well, the people won't take me seriously in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let's read that together. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, well, it's my staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. I don't want us to miss this detail, this detail about when he says, I can't do it, the people aren't going to take me seriously, and God simply says, well, Moses, what are you holding there? And of course, it was his staff. Why does this detail matter? Why should we pay any attention to this? I think because God used something familiar to Moses to enable him to serve him. He used this familiar thing that Moses had been using for 40 years, a simple shepherd's staff, to have an answer for the people that would ask things of him. In other words, 40 years of shepherding wasn't useless. You could say, well, God waited a long time, all these 80 years, and he shepherded for 40 of those years. Moses wasn't really doing anything. He was just waiting for God to call him. And I think God would say, oh no, those 40 years were for a purpose. And in fact, God was going to use those shepherding skills that Moses developed and the staff itself to accomplish some very important things for His will. It would be that staff that would bring the seventh plague of hail in chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. It would be that staff that would bring the eighth plague of locust in chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Maybe most famously, it would be that staff that would part and close the Red Sea in chapter 14. It was the staff that brought water from the rock in Horeb in chapter 17, verses 5 to 7. And it would be that staff that would help the Israelites win the battle against the Amalekites in chapter 17, verses 8 to 15. Being a shepherd was not useless. God used his staff of all things, something that was familiar to Moses, a profession of his, to bring about his will. In the last one, in chapter 17, where this staff and Moses help Israel win a battle against the Amalekites, Moses actually refers to this staff as the staff of God. This is what this staff became meant to Moses, as he had seen it do miraculous things time and time again. He saw his staff as an instrument of accomplishing God's will. But notice how God worked through this very familiar, simple thing in Moses' life. And I think he may work through us in the same way, through our various staffs, through our various professions, through the simple things in our life. You may remember it's been a couple years ago. It's kind of hard to forget when somebody does something quite like this, but Jeff brought a football helmet on stage. Do you remember him doing that? It's been as little as a year ago, may have been at least 2 years ago, I'm not sure. And he made the application that the football helmet was his staff. God used Moses' profession of shepherding to accomplish his will and reach the world around him. And Jeff said that God did the same through him, through his coaching. And I thought that application was one of the best applications that I've ever heard on this particular text. And I'm always up for stealing a good idea, so I had to preach some of the same ideas. But as we're going through Exodus, we've come to this very same passage. And I thought it would be neat to hear about what some other staffs are at our congregation here at Sunset. How our members here use their job or their life circumstances or whatever their staff is to accomplish things for God's kingdom. So tonight I want to invite the four guys that I had talked to up on stage, and we're going to do it game show style and just ask them a couple questions about what their staffs are and how they use them to accomplish God's purposes, just like God used Moses' staff to accomplish his purposes. Well, thanks for volunteering, guys. This might be the last time that you ever volunteer, but I appreciate it. We have Bruce Chilton, Jeff Klein, Daryl Reeds, and Sam Moore. And I talked to them this week because I thought they would do a good job and they would be willing to tell us about the things that are going on in their lives, their various professions or whatever it is, something that they consider to be their staff, a particular thing that they say, you know, God works in my life in this way to accomplish his purposes. So, Bruce, what is your staff? Just real simple. What's your profession or whatever?
I actually am a vice president of trade management for an assistant global logistics, and I negotiate contracts with the steamship lines and bring product in from all over the world. And so I only say that to tell you that my staff is really more about how God has engaged me throughout my career to get to the point I am right now. We'll answer some more here.
Great, great. Jeff, I think I already mentioned it, but what do you consider to be your staff?
Well, I'm a teacher at Parkview High School. I've been teaching for 32 years, coaching football for longer than that as a graduate assistant in college. And Philip already mentioned that football has been my staff, but also teaching has too. If you can't be a teacher, you can't be a coach. And they go hand in hand together. So teaching has been my staff.
Very good. Moving down here, Daryl, what do you consider to be your staff?
Well, I think my staff has transitioned into retirement, which I am very proud of and hope,
yeah, that's great.
Hope will continue for several more years.
Very good. Sam, tell us about your staff.
I work at a lumber yard, so I'm around a lot of truck drivers and manual labor workers that often are down their luck. So where I'm at now gives me an opportunity to speak to them.
Very good. Very good. So far we have four guys, a diverse set of backgrounds. We have couple, is it okay to say middle aged? That's not too mean, is it? We have a guy that's retired, and we have a younger man, and all have various staff. So we'll start back down here again. Bruce, do you feel like the Lord has guided you to be at this particular point in your life, and if so, why?
Totally. And the reason is because I have suffered throughout my career. I've suffered different job losses and different transition periods, and I've been in the career path that I'm in for the last 28 years. But during that time, I suffered a really terrible job loss, and I remember specifically that my prayer life was really engaged at that point. And the day that it happened, I called Joe Bright and came up here to the building and sat with him. And I was in tears because I didn't know where my life was, my work life, my professional life was headed at that point. And he made a profound statement to me. He said, "Do you believe that God has control of your life?" And I said, "Absolutely. I pray for it all the time." And he said, "Then you were purged to move to something new." And it was just shortly thereafter that Carrie Samuel called me and asked for me to come over and meet with one of the senior members of the company that I still work for today. And now I am the senior leader within that organization. So God has really engaged me to be able to really help other people to work on their pathway in their life at the same time. Even people that don't have faith have been able to have that kind of impact.
Awesome. Sounds like God has worked in some powerful ways. Thanks for sharing that. Jeff, same question. Do you feel like the Lord has guided you to be at this particular point in your life?
Absolutely. So early in my coaching career, I was on the coaching carousel. 3 years at one place, 4 years at another, 4 years at another, 4 years at another. And I believe with all my heart that God put me in those places, not only for my benefit, which was probably more so, but for the benefit of those kids that I was able to come in contact with. And, you know, people say what they want to say about Facebook, but I keep in contact with a lot of young men now that I've made contact with in the classroom and on the field. And it's neat to see how much they've grown. It's neat to see the families that they have, the church involvement that they're in at their home congregations, and to know that maybe in my time there at that place, at that school, that I may have had a positive influence on them. I really feel like the Lord brought me to Springfield back again. We were here at Willard for 4 years, and I went down to Little Bitty Mountain View. And I think God brought us down there just to work, partially to work with that church of 55 members. But made a good impact on some kids down there that I keep in contact with today. And God brought us back to Springfield and decided to keep me at Parkview. And I've been there for 16 years. And what a blessing it's been in my life. The lives of my family. And so, yeah, definitely has had an impact.
Awesome. Sounds like it. Very good. Very good. All right, moving down to the other table here. Daryl, do you feel like God has brought you, guided you to this particular point in your life?
Absolutely. I feel God has guided me to this particular point in my life. First of all, through God's providence and maybe a small level of health, I have been able to attain an advanced age over these other gentlemen here, a lifespan that exceeds the average lifespan of a U.S. male. Through that longevity to this point, God has allowed me to hold a full-time job past my full retirement age, which many others in this congregation have done also. And Sharon and I have been retired for over 10 years. During this time of retirement, we came to realize that our abilities and our energy declined some in these advanced years. And that's a hard pill for some of us to swallow. Harder for me than for her. But seriously, we began to discuss and pray about the viability or the real possibility of moving to a smaller home, something that was more manageable for us, something with little or no maintenance for us to do outside, And again, we continued praying and searching for answers on that. And I was resistant at first, but we eventually were able to locate a property approximately half the size of where we lived. We purchased that. We had some renovations done. We moved in a little over a year ago. We were able to sell our house that we had built and lived in for almost 30 years quickly. Had been a good house for us and our family. It really served our needs, but our needs had changed, and it was a good move for us. It put us in contact. I can't explain it enough the opportunities that we have had at this new location to meet people and be of service to them and help to them that we never would have known without this move. We have been involved with at least six families or individuals on our street, and the harvest is just wide open on our street for being able to help and be of service to our neighbors, and we just really appreciate that opportunity.
Great. Thank you. Sam, do you feel like God has guided you to be at this particular point in your life?
Yeah, I'm just starting out working, 22 years old, and working in this job, I didn't know if I wanted to go to school, continue school, if I wanted to start working, and I decided that work was probably the best option for me. So I found this job and wasn't too sure about it to begin with, but I work, like I say, with truck drivers and manual labor workers. So around there, I've really learned that no matter who somebody is, everyone has a story, and no matter how important or high up in a business they are, they always have a story that's very intense in their own life. So I've gone to realize that you can talk to people, and it doesn't matter who they are, that anyone's going to listen. Because, I mean, not everyone's bad, and there are some people that are in where I'm at that are willing to listen, and I feel like God's put me there now to understand and realize that everyone can have an opening ear if you're willing to speak to them.
Awesome. Well, I think if Moses was up here, he would say that God brought him to the particular point in his life that he is at, where we're at here in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. Although, you know, shepherding for 40 years, that seemed a little strange. You know, growing up in Pharaoh's court, that seemed a little bit strange. But I think Moses would say the same thing. Through some strange providential means, God had been working in his life. So, appreciate y'all sharing that. Another question here. How do you feel like God uses your particular vocation or life situation for his purposes? So maybe just kind of specifically, how do you think God has used your staff for his purposes? Bruce, yeah.
Okay. I thought about this question, and I think each one of us are placed in a position for a reason. Many years ago, my wife and I lived in Saudi Arabia for 2 years, and for the longest time, I always wondered why did God send me there. I think there was two reasons. One, I needed to grow and mature as a Christian, and it put me in an environment where I had to do that. But it was international travel, and I know that God was planning me for the position I'm in today. And so I think how and why he did that to prepare me for today's vocation was so that I wouldn't be overwhelmed by that, and I would still have the capability to generate the relationships necessary for me to be able to help career path other people, but in that career path have conversation with them about their life and about what's happening in their lives. Just recently, I had one of my team members in my office who was really suffering through a life issue, and We discussed at length about the two greatest commandments and about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and spirit, and also about loving your neighbor as yourself, and upon all those two things, everything hinges. And when we had this conversation, I realized that God had placed me, not necessarily just for that specific reason, but for me to have that kind of an impact on a lot of people. And yeah. I sometimes think that God puts us in the vocation we're in, the pathway we're in, so that we can maybe have impact even on just one person.
Yeah.
But we can have a greater impact on thousands of people through that one person that we impact. So maybe that was what God had prepared me for, to be in the international transportation like I am today.
Yeah, sounds like it. Awesome. Jeff, second question here. How do you feel God has used your particular vocation or life situation for His purposes?
Early on in my college career, I think God knew that I was not cut out to be a business management major. He knew that I wouldn't want to wear a tie.
Two different staffs here. See,
yeah,
where you got
wouldn't want to wear a tie and a suit jacket, as you can tell. So deep down inside, I always knew that I wanted to teach and coach. My favorite people were my teachers and coaches who had such an impact on my life. And even today, I keep in contact with a lot of my coaches that I had growing up. I could sit here and tell you a lot of success stories. I could sit here and tell you of a lot of failures. One recently at the beginning of the school year where I failed to make a connection with a student. And it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for me spiritually. It wasn't good for me health-wise. And caused me to really think hard about what I was doing and how I was trying to connect with this kid. But I can also tell you some success stories to where I made connections with kids that I didn't think I was ever going to make connections with. And I have an opportunity at graduation to be on the floor, and it's kind of to monitor behavior and make sure everyone behaves and stands up when they stand up. Well, this one kid that I had made a connection with, the first connection was he was dealing drugs in the bathroom. And had him next year in class. And midway through the school year, he said, "Coach Klein, I hated your guts." I said, "What? What did I do to make you hate my guts?" He said, "You don't remember?" I said, "No." He said, "You're the one who caught me in the bathroom getting rid of drugs on with some other kid." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." From that point on, we developed a relationship after that. He was a hard-looking kid, missed school, and it was a study time class, and spent some time with him and got to know him and got to know his background. And by the end of his high school career, he had graduated. And as he was walking down the podium after getting his diploma, I'm standing in the aisle, and he comes up and gives me a big hug right there in graduation in front of everybody. I mean, that just melts my heart, you know. And I know there's kids like that I haven't been able to contact with. But because of my position, I'm able to do that. I'm also the FCA sponsor at Parkview. And, man, it's great. I can pray with the kids in school and pray for the rest of the kids that walk the hallways and have fellow teachers come and speak to our kids, have our kids speak to the kids. It's an awesome opportunity, and God has just placed me in this position, I know, as my mission field here on this earth.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
When Jeff was my high school teacher, he was exactly like that. But all kidding aside, I will tell you this. For years and years, I've known Jeff since college. He was in year 7. I was just getting started. But I've known Jeff for years, and I've followed his career. I've followed him and watched him coach in so many different places. And I can tell you that he has an immense impact on these young people. They will not use poor language in front of him. They treat him with a great deal of respect. And that is what we as Christians are supposed to do, is to have that kind of impact on people. So I only tell you that because I'm sitting next to him and he's really big and I don't want to be there. But I mean every word of that. He is exactly like that.
Awesome. Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Going down to the other side, Daryl, how do you feel like the Lord uses your particular situation, in this case your retirement, for His purposes?
Philip, before I address that, I have to continue this laughter business for just one moment.
Okay.
And this is directed towards Jeff, who was lucky enough to be at Mountain View, a little bitty instead of super little bitty, Summersville, 15 miles due north. On a serious note, I'm going to focus on life situations. My first sentence or comment may strike many here as bizarre or unusual, but it is this, that Sharon and I were both victims many years ago of an unwanted divorce. I know many people here can identify with that. And I'm about to break up even talking about it. But God's hand was involved in taking a tragic situation and making something positive come from a come from that. And by that, I mean that Sharon and I met, we dated, we eventually married, and we soon became aware that a blended family, which is what we were, deals with so many more influences and things that a nuclear family doesn't deal with. I mean, we all deal with situations in our marriages, but that's kind of compounded in a blended family, as you can well imagine, with children, usually children, from two different homes. And so it's a challenge. And in talking with people that we knew at our previous congregation, Sharon and I started a support group for blended families, and we met at the Family Life Center at our congregation for many years.
Wow.
We tried to make an effort. We met once a month, and we would bring in speakers, people with expertise on areas that were pertinent to blended families, to families in general, but specifically to blended families. So we had a good number attend. Unfortunately, through all those years, there were some divorces. As we all know, divorce, even though we don't like to talk about it, is rampant in nuclear families. I don't know what the divorce rate is, but it's probably 50% or better. In blended families, it's more than that. So it takes a lot of commitment and effort to make it work. We continue in our retirement to reach out to people to try to be of service to those that we come in contact with, people that might be on the margin or on the periphery of everyday life, people that you normally wouldn't associate with. We've made a concerted effort through these years to reach out to those people and become involved with them. For many years, as an example, we and several other members here were involved with a homeless group over at Boonville and Commercial. We provided the food, we cooked it, we served it for many, many years over there until that facility was eventually shut down. So, again, I feel that God, His providence, His watch care has been very effective and useful in our married life together. And I'm happy to report, incidentally, that Sharon and I, this May the 9th, will celebrate 39 years of marriage.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Sam, how do you feel God uses your particular vocation, life situation, for His purposes?
Well, where I'm at, people are allowed to basically say whatever they want. So we don't have any rules or restrictions about talking about religion, politics, or any sort of manner. So that really gives me a lot of freedom to kind of speak about religion and belief. And where I'm at, I'm in the warehouse. So most of the time, I'm either by myself or with one person, which for me is terrific because I'm a very personal one-on-one type of person. So whenever I'm one-on-one, I'm able to kind of be around someone, get to know them a little bit, and eventually either ask or them ask me from me showing actions of if they're religious. And through that action, I can start a conversation. I've had either straight up have a no, and that's it, or, you know, gone on a 30-minute spree of not working and straight up having a conversation about different ideas and, you know, theories about God and religion. And because of that, I've been able to basically build up a relationship with almost everybody in my workforce.
Wow.
So I am now kind of known as one of the people that someone has an issue they go to. And, like, as an example, someone was having a really hard time. He was around my age. He was a few years older. And he was telling me that he was just having a tough time with him and his fiance and all that. And he was struggling pretty hard. And it kind of got a little quiet because I was kind of trying to, you know, console him and all that. And I paused for a second. And I was like, when's the last time you prayed? And he kind of stopped and looked at me and goes, it's been a long time. I'm like, well, might help. Like, what's it going to hurt? He goes, you know, I might do that. And so it was kind of stopped at that. And the next day he came to me and told me, he's just like, I prayed last night. He goes, I feel so much better.
Wow.
And from then on, he was just in a good mood. And he would always, like, come over and tell me and thank me a lot. And it was like I realized that, you know, that wasn't really all me doing that. That was God through me being able to give him those words.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we have four very different staffs here, God using each particular situation in some very powerful ways. Just real quickly here, a third question. Are there any tips or things that you think we should watch for in searching for ways that the Lord is trying to use us? So as we are going about living our lives, what are some things we should watch out for and maybe that should make us think, maybe the Lord is trying to use me in this way, in this situation?
I think two quick things. One is what he was just discussing about prayer. Your conversation with God is like it's like a radio, in that there's a transmission that is constantly coming at us. And it's all a matter of whether or not our receiver is on or not. So if you haven't powered your receiver up, you can't hear what God has to say to you, meaning you can't hear or see the signals, the references that he's putting in front of you, the people that he is laying in front of you. You won't have any idea who they are because you're not listening to God. Have your receiver on. That's the first one. The second is life is like a float trip. That when we are traveling in a boat and you're in with and you're in headed down the river, everybody that's been on a float trip recognizes you come to a fork in the river and you have to make a decision, go left or go right. God is up above and sees the end of your float trip. He knows what's going to happen at the end. But he also knows if you choose to go left or if you choose to go right and you're not listening to his guidance, you either have heavy rapids in your life or you could have a smoother pathway. But it all depends on if you're listening to God when you make the choice to go left or right. That pathway and that choice will come at every aspect of your life, whether you're young like us or whether you're older. You're going to find that times there will be there. And for those who are in college or younger or just getting started, look for those moments. Look for those times when God is telling you, go to the left or go to the right. And follow his teaching and follow what he's trying to tell you through your heart.
Love that. A couple of great metaphors. Jeff, what should we watch out for when trying to, you know, determine if God is using our staff for his purposes?
I'm a people watcher, and I love watching kids at school. And God will open a door. It doesn't matter if I go right down the hallway or left down the hallway. God's going to open up a door. And so I encourage us all to look for that open door and walk right through it and take advantage of what the opportunity that God has given you. The one thing that I think I don't know that we need to be concerned about, but there's people out there that are looking for us to fail. Don't be afraid of failure. That door may open and you may walk in, and like I said earlier, what you might experience may not be positive. It may not have the positive outcome, but you don't know what's going to happen down the road. You've planted a seed. You've planted a seed, and it could take 9, 10, 12, 15, 16 years before that seed finally germinates. So don't have any regrets. You see that door, and it's open, and God opens it. Step through.
Love that. Love that. And then down here, just real quick, just a couple things that we should watch for when trying to determine if God is trying to use us.
I'll try to talk fast. There are many tips that I think all of us could cultivate to be better servants in God's kingdom. Right here in our own congregation, get to know people right here better, because after all, we're all going to be neighbors in heaven. We need to know a little bit about each other. Another way is just to expand our friendship circles. I think there's a natural tendency among people to gravitate to people of like age, vocation, interest, and that's fine, but let's work at maybe trying to include some people outside our circle. I would highly recommend that as we go into this new year of service, that anyone that wasn't in a growth group, please give that some really prayerful consideration or sign up for it again, because it puts you past just face recognition of someone to really get to know something about them. So I highly recommend that. And I would also say that a tip would be try to free up some time in your personal life, because just as Sharon and I have found, the ability to serve people in our new neighborhood, there are people on your street that you can be of service to and helpful to in your own neighborhood.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate that. Sam, any tips and tricks looking for ways that God can use us?
Well, like Jeff was saying, God opens doors for us. And I feel like another thing, something that stops people from going through those doors and seeing is the fear of what Moses was going through. I didn't think that he knew enough, didn't think that he could speak well enough. And you just can't be afraid because, you know, whenever something happens to me that I know there's a door opens and I know I can take advantage of it, I do my hardest to remember that, you know, all I got to do is just say a few good words to him, and then that seed is planted, and God can do the rest.
Yeah.
And if we remember that, then we can just, I mean, it's unstoppable. So, I mean, God's love and everything can just tie and bring all of us closer together, and I think it's also important to realize that we can learn from other people as well, and they don't have to be other Christians. I mean, you can hear and learn a lot of important stories, important things about anyone on this planet. And you can take them to heart and share the stories yourself and then spread them out and then just do what you can to further God's word, and God can do the rest.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Really appreciate that. Y'all can go ahead and take your seat and we'll wrap up here. Really appreciate these guys. I asked them this week and they prepared for this and they had a lot of good things to say tonight, and I know they would. So if you see them when you leave here, say, hey, thanks for having some good things to say to us. We appreciate it. Well, none of them had a burning bush experience or a bright light experience, at least not one that we heard about. But I think that's an important point, that God doesn't tend to work like that in our lives. He tends to work in subtler ways, but it doesn't mean that he's not working and that he is not trying to do very powerful things through our different staffs. And we heard about four very different staffs, but how God was using different life situations and different career paths to bring about his will on this earth. So as we end here, I just want to ask you, what is your staff? What is the thing that you can do that you can use to serve? Maybe it's your job, maybe it's your retirement, maybe it's your school, whatever it is, we all have a staff. This morning we talked about, maybe it's building something or sewing something or cooking something or cleaning something, but we all have something that God is ready and willing to use for us to use in this world for his glory. And I would encourage us as we leave here to determine what that staff is. Is it a passion of mine? Is it my job? What is it that I feel like God is trying to use so we can serve the world around us? We'll end with an invitation. Again, appreciate these guys. I think we were well fed tonight. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, we would love to hear about any situation you've got going on as we stand and as we sing.